As we look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27, we have in focus a sudden tempest or storm that arose from the Sea of Galilee. And we want to, with this a text that many people are familiar with. Our focus in the reading of this text is to ask what that is all about. And I think it is very obvious, although it is not stated, but it is very obvious it is a test of faith. And this is something that we want to consider. You see, because juxtaposed to this is the story of the faith of the Roman centurion. And then, on the other hand, we have the faith of the disciples. The challenge, and to ask ourselves, is what's the difference between the two groups? Group one, one person, Roman, Gentile, non-disciple, and yet his faith stood out. You would almost imagine that if that is the case, that the faith of the disciples would be even more outstanding. But unfortunately, this is not really how the gospel story turns out. So let's take a look at this very carefully and look at how this was a real test of faith. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ had given instruction to the disciples. The whole lot of people had followed him. But again here, not because they were really interested in being disciples, but because they saw the Lord Jesus performing miracles. He's got always wonderful stories to tell, and people followed him for sometimes not the best of reasons. And so the Lord Jesus Christ also had other things that he on his agenda. And one was to preach the gospel to many other villages and cities. And he cannot just simply stay in one place and then keep telling the people stories and then miss out on reaching out to other people who have not yet heard the gospel. And so he was going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee to reach out to other people and possibly encourage them to become his disciples too. Well, that was the focus. He told the disciples that they ought to go to the other side. And that was it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, you must imagine, he was a human being. He would understandably be tired after a whole long day of ministry. He would be up in the morning. He would minister throughout the whole day. By the evening time, you can understand that he may just need a little bit of a rest. And that's a physical part of the Lord Jesus, which we want to appreciate. And so here is the Lord Jesus. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, a windstorm came, a great tempest described by Matthew. And then not only a windstorm, but it was almost as if, you know, the waves were coming and pouring a lot of water into the boat, and the danger was that they might end up the boat being capsized. Now, the disciples of the Lord Jesus were suddenly caught up by this strange feeling called fear. And remember, why call it strange? Because these were fishermen. If you were a fisherman, one of the things that you must be able to do is to be out in the sea and not be afraid. You must be able to face storms along the way and then somehow not let fear overcome. But in this particular incident, what was really strange was that the fishermen who had lived the bulk of their lives in the sea, in the waters, catching fish, suddenly they became terrified. And the word is that they were obviously fearful. What did they say to the Lord Jesus amidst all that? They said to him, "Lord, save us." And the next three words, "We are perishing." They basically were afraid that they might drown in the sea. The crying out to the Lord Jesus was accentuated by the problem of fear. And for some reason, they turned to the Lord Jesus. to save them. And this was, to me, quite astonishing, that they had to be so gripped by fear. Turning to the Lord Jesus was natural, but being so gripped by fear, that was unusual and unexpected. Well, how did the Lord Jesus Christ respond to all of these things here? And of course, we know that he was not perturbed in the least. He was actually asleep. And this was something that his disciples found astonishing. It's almost as if the Lord Jesus Christ did not care about them. They were going to drown, and the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep. Now, they haven't thought further. If they were to be drowned, well, the Lord Jesus Christ would be in a worse state because he was not a fisherman, right? And yet they did not think along these lines. They thought only of themselves. They didn't ask themselves, can a storm overpower the Lord Jesus, overpower the boat in which they are in? They don't think through all of these things here. Their basic immediate concern was they are perishing. The Lord must save them. They don't know how he would save them, but he must save them or they are all dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ turned to the disciples and he raised two questions. One, why are you fearful? Now, this is astonishing, right? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is really saying to them that they should not be overcome by fear of any kind. Why are they fearful at all? That is what the Lord was saying to them. Well, of course, they had no answer to that. And then he said to them made a second statement, "O you of little faith." Now, what does that mean? Now, this word, "little," "O you of little faith," literally is like a term. It's like a phrase to describe them. They are little faith people. They are little faith disciples, basically. So what's the point of saying, I believe in the Lord Jesus, and I'm following him as a disciple, but I am also very fearful that I might just perish along the way in a sudden storm? It somehow doesn't sit well. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to address this problem of little faith. So what is the point or significance of a little faith? Meaning, this little faith situation, that little faith is virtually useless. Now, if you were to contrast that with the centurion, where he was praised for his great faith, and here are disciples who should have great faith or even greater faith, ending up with little faith, useless little faith. Now, that is the point of this particular story that we must look at very, very carefully. Sometimes we just think or we assume that our faith is pretty good, it's sound. Our faith has got substance. We believe in the Lord. We believe in salvation. We believe in the scriptures. And we think that's it. That's a great faith. Not really. Because the testing of our faith is not in terms of the content of our faith alone. Neither is it, do we have even a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? The testing of faith is not in terms of content, but really in terms of whether that faith can be real enough and it can be applied to real life situation. And that is a big question. Some tests in life are minor. Some tests in life can be quite major. And if, for example, if we face life's tests with fear that we might be perishing, and we wonder whether the Lord can actually come and help us, then we must seriously ask and we must seriously question our faith. What is this all about? You see, as we read the gospel story, this little faith, we also want to compare it with the faith that was being tested as Peter, who was one of the disciples here, exercised his faith and then wrote about this faith in his epistle to the diaspora of the Christians. And so he said to them, as he wrote to them in 1 Peter 1, "You greatly rejoice, that is, in your faith in the Lord Jesus. But at the same time, they were also grieved by various trials." The word trials would be testings. Now, the question was, how genuine was this faith of theirs? Can we rejoice? Yes, because of our faith in the Lord Jesus. But why do we need to be so overly grieved when we go through trials? And so Peter had to write to the believers, write to the disciples, and he encourages them to literally understand and appreciate the genuineness of that faith. Our faith, if it is genuine, is more precious than gold that perishes. In other words, it's invaluable, right? And this is something that we need to appreciate. This faith should not be afraid of being tested by fire. Because if that faith is genuine, if that faith is precious, more precious than gold, even if it goes and gets tested by fire, it will be found to the praise, to the honor, and to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns for us. So when the Lord Jesus Christ looks at our faith, the genuineness of our faith, how would he evaluate it? He will not evaluate it only on the basis of content. He will evaluate it on the basis of how genuine it is, how precious it is, how when it is tested by fire, it will emerge as a faith that will bring praise to God, honor to God, glory to God. That is the kind of faith the Lord wants us to have. And it took Peter many, many years later to understand that what he had was just a little bit of faith, but that faith has to be tested, to be shown for what it is, and then to be worked on, to be cultivated, to be developed until it is the kind of faith that he can now write about in 1 Peter 1. He can now write about his faith that is genuine, that is more precious than gold, because it has been tested by fire. And Peter was tested by fire. He went to jail. He was physically chased all over the place. People wanted to kill him. There were difficulties along the way. Through it all, through all of them, Peter's faith was found to the praise, to the honor and glory of the Savior who taught him to have this kind of faith. Sometimes when we face trials of life, for students, it is basically exams or maybe illness or some hardship or some difficulties in the family and friends. How do we face these trials? We can end up being very grieved and we can virtually give up our faith, or we can say, no, this is a genuine faith. This faith is going to grow further because of tests, because of trials. And this faith is going to be found more precious than gold that perishes, even if it is tested by fire. And our challenge surely is to say, I have a genuine faith in the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in Him, even if I face all kinds of difficulties and trials. This is the test of faith that we need to consider. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ were tested in the storm and they were found wanting. Now, the purpose of that test is not to make them feel bad, but to challenge them to realize that their faith was shallow, it was superficial, it was not good enough, not strong enough. The challenge was to build that faith. Well, that is our challenge today. whatever we go through tests of life, we must realize that our faith is actually being tested. And as our faith is tested, we must also recognize the strength or the weakness of our faith. If it is strong, great, let's make it stronger. If it is weak, let's find out why that faith is weak and make that faith strong, so that the testing of a faith would not be in vain in any way. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your challenge to look at how our faith can be tested, how it will be tested. Help us to do better than just to speak about having contents of faith, but to have a faith that is genuine, that is growing, that is going to become even better through the tests and the fires of life. We pray for your blessings. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.